Everything you're about to see is true. The mayor, the school teacher, the reverend, the kid from Poland, the crazy cow milking machine, and the panic that ensued when a man named Orson Welles came on the radio and said that Martians had landed in New Jersey. Everything you're about to see is true.
The new movie Brave New Jersey is a comedy about the small New Jersey town of Lullaby. On the night of Orson Welles' legendary 1938 War of the Worlds radio broadcast, which led millions of listeners to believe the U.S. was being invaded by aliens. The film, co-written by Berkshire-based writer Michael Dowling and Jody Lambert, Lambert also directs. Having had a successful tour of film festivals, the movie opens in selected cities nationwide tomorrow, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Dowling and Jody Lambert to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Jode.
Hey,
Mike.
Thank you both for being with us. So, well, Michael, let me begin with you of how this project came about.
I was reading Orson Welles' biography called Rosebud by David Thompson. There was a little passage in there. They didn't spend a ton of time on it about the broadcast. Jody and I already knew about the broadcast. I mentioned it to Jody. Something sparked in him. Something sparked in me about writing a script about it. And then we put our heads together, created this town, created the characters. And instead of focusing on Welles and the broadcast and the Mercury Theater, we wanted to focus on folks in a small town dealing with it.
And what is there, Jody, about putting it into that microcosm of a small town that lets you delve in really not only to the effect that this had on people at the time, but really into the into the pulse of human nature?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the legend of the panic that was created by the broadcast is such a kind of wonderful pop culture story. And by focusing on a town in New Jersey, because the broadcast claimed that Martians had landed in Grover's Mill, New Jersey. So we wanted to set the movie in a town that was, you know, close enough to feel the pressure of, you know, that they might come any minute. So I think setting it, yeah, in a town and not focusing on Welles kind of allowed us to create these characters who sort of needed a night like this to happen, to sort of shake them out of their small town routines. And I think that's kind of the fun of telling it from that point of view, rather than focusing on Orson Welles in the studio, which a couple of TV movies had done over the years.
Right. Where that will be almost becomes the wallpaper to the story of what these actual characters are going through.
Right, right. Yeah, we found this this book called The Panic Broadcast by Howard Koch, or is it Koch? I forget. He wrote the script for the Mercury Theater for the broadcast.
Yes.
And in there, Jody and I found some anecdotes, like a man who hears the broadcast backs through his garage door and abandons his family. And Jody, if I remember right, that was one little trigger. We thought, what's that guy going to say when he comes back home, when he finds out it's all a hoax?
Right.
So this is a great little thin volume that had some anecdotes in it, which also, I think, helped us to focus on people being told, hey, this is your last night on Earth. Well, how are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do?
How do the two of you work together and parse out the writing credits?
This was an interesting collaboration because we started working on the script a few years ago, and we were both living in New York. So then it was more like getting together and kind of riffing and coming up with ideas and scenes. And then I moved out to LA. And so the kind of second part of the process was sort of sending each other scenes back and forth, and, you know, Mike would rewrite my scene or I would rewrite his scene, and then we would kind of get together, you know, via Skype or on the phone and sort of hash through it. But it was really fun because, you know, the kind of pleasure of writing with somebody is when they come up with something that you love and that you could never have come up with, and all of a sudden, you know, you're sort of energized by the other person's ideas, and that happened a lot on Brave New Jersey.
we worked together seamlessly. It was there was never a moment of disagreement about anything. Not to bore you with too much process, but I feel like the script was kind of in two chunks. There was the first draft where everything just gets all out on the page.
Yep.
The second draft when it looked like, oh, this movie's going to be made. We have to really get down to brass tacks. And then there was the shooting script when Jody has his mind around shooting it and we're making edits. So I feel like those are the three incarnations of the script.
So without getting, as Michael just said, of too much into the process, but I do find it interesting. So knowing that you have to direct this thing, does that influence the writing?
Yes and no. I mean, the first thing you want to do is make sure that the best version of the story is on the page and that you feel very confident in the script itself, because obviously this is a low-budget movie and we're not going to have a lot of time. And, you know, you have to really know that what you're shooting is as good as it can be so that the time you're on the set can be spent with the actors just getting more takes and, you know, more coverage that you can work with, not trying to figure out like what the scenes are about. But then part of the process becomes how can we make certain adjustments to accommodate our schedule and, you know, the budget and certain things that we wanted to do, you know, we realized we wouldn't have time to do, or at least not have time to do them well. And when you realize that, then you start making changes where you say, well, I'd rather lose something than have our only version of it be subpar. And so then you kind of look at the script and say, well, how can we preserve the most important idea from this scene, knowing we're going to cut it? Maybe we put a line of dialogue into another scene, or we rethink how the order of these scenes are going to flow. And, you know, that kind of stuff is challenging, but also in a lot of cases ends up making the movie better. And that happened a couple times while we were prepping the film.
When it comes to the cast, this is quite a cast. At what point did you know that you had the actors that you had?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to our casting director named Denise Chamian. She is somebody that I had worked with on another film project, and she casts like very big Hollywood blockbusters. And I sent her the script, you know, just kind of wanting her opinion and not thinking that she would get involved. But she really responded to the script and said, yeah, let's go find some actors. So, you know, we started to kind of think about the mayor character played by Tony Hale. And it didn't seem like there was a guy out there in, you know, that Mike and I could think of who had all these wonderful qualities of, you know, being charming and funny and sympathetic and kind of an underdog. And, you know, then on the other side, like maybe he's never played a lead role, so he'd want to do this movie. And Denise said, yeah, you're talking about Tony Hale. I mean, that's who you're describing. And so we were kind of blown away, like, oh my God, you're right. And so once Tony signed on, then the process is sort of pairing him up with people that feel similar to him in their tone and their approach. And yeah, we just got really lucky with this group of actors who responded to the script and took a chance on, you know, first time director. And it's a really unique ensemble. I think we're really proud of the fact that these aren't actors that you've necessarily seen in a hundred other indies where they all sort of blend together. It's like a fresh group of people and you believe them all as these characters.
We joked that that we didn't realize that we wrote the role for Tony, even though we never pictured him doing it. But once he was there, I was like, oh yeah, this role was written for this guy.
It became very obvious that he was your guy. When you look at the film now, Michael, and go through this process, I mean, do you leave it and say, oh, I can't wait to do more of this? Or do you say, oh, that was fun, now I'll go back to what I was doing before?
No, I feel blessed that for my first feature, I made it with friends. Jody's been a dear friend forever. That cast came together. And, you know, I came up through the theater. Jody did as well. And that ensemble and that company and the crew, everyone came together and, you know, there were bumps, but it worked. It worked so well. I can, you know, only hope that the next project has that kind of fellow feeling and the good vibes that go around it. And I learned, as I know, I'm sure Jody did too, learned a lot for writing my next script, what to do and what to do in terms of edits to have it, when someone reads it, to feel like, oh, this actually can be shot. I know that the next thing is we'll probably be shot during the day as opposed to all night shoots.
And I would just like to add that, unlike Mike, I am done with movies forever after this.
Completely sign off, done.
That's it. Yeah.
This was Jody's Catcher in the Rye. Now they're going to.
Yeah.
So there's a LA opening, and then there's an opening in New York City tomorrow, Cinema Village, with a Q&A, and you'll all be at the
I'll be at the Q&A in New York. Jody will be at the one in Los Angeles, which is sold out.
Excellent.
So people should, if they want to come to Cinema Village, get your tickets.
And you'll be with some cast members as well?
Yes. Heather Burns, who plays the lead, I suppose. I think Anna's going to be there on the second night, Jody, on Saturday.
Yeah, Anna Camp will be there Saturday. And Bill Coleus, another actor, will be there. And Kelly Winrich, who is one of the composers, will also be at both Q&As on Friday and Saturday.
And then it's going to run up here from the 18th to the 21st at the cinema at the Berkshire Museum. So folks who I know and friends from here have an opportunity to see if they can't get down to the city.
Excellent. And, of course, your chance to meet two of the actors, Dan Bacadal and Tony Hale, will be in just a few moments when Sarah and I will talk to them. So that was very exciting. And when you look at this as a as a project and a debut, if you will, what does it teach you about the state of the independent film?
That's a good question. I mean, I do think that it's pretty tough out there right now for movies to find their way into theaters, which, if that is your kind of experience and your goal, which I think for a lot of filmmakers it is, then it's hard to have those movies reach your audience in that way. However, because of all the on-demand platforms and streaming, your opportunity to have your movie seen by people has really increased. So for me, it's kind of finding that middle ground where I'm certainly excited and grateful that the movie's going to play in theaters and that people have the opportunity to see it. And also that knowing that, you know, more people will probably find it on home video is fine. You know, it's kind of the way it is now. And these movies can sort of succeed in a way that maybe they couldn't have before those streaming services were so common. So, you know, I just hope people find the movie and enjoy it and are moved by it. And I guess, you know, whichever way they're doing it is good by me.
Yeah, I've learned that it's a miracle anything actually gets made. And this movie is not, you know, people sitting on couches talking about their relationship. I mean, this movie was fairly big for an independent film and
very funny.
Yeah.
I do want to just point out that one of the first scenes of Brave New Jersey is Heather Burns sitting on a couch talking about her relationship. Mike, I'm not sure what movie you saw.
I didn't write that scene. I don't think I wrote that scene.
You didn't write that scene.
But we didn't put her on the couch for the next hour and a half.
That's right.
Well, to keep track of Brave New Jersey screenings, visit facebook.com/Brave New Jersey. Michael Dowling and Jody Lambert, thank you very much for being with us. Thank you.
Great
pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, Joe. It was fun.
We'll speak with Brave New Jersey stars Tony Hale and Dan Bacadal next.